to have Brother Godwin in the house tonight. Today. And he is a blessing. I want you to know I have longed for our revival conference to excel and achieve and be a blessing. It was birthed out of a desire to bless this district and the churches and the pastors and the people of God in this district. And it has been a blessing, and we can see it affecting change all throughout the district. It's exciting. But I wanted those day sessions to do something that was consistent with my memory. I remember years ago at Louisiana camp at district conference time, and they'd bring in those elders and they would teach, and I was brand new in the things of God, but I loved his word and just wanted to hear his word. And it was like ascending to a heavenly place and just spending time with God and angels and possibilities and powerful concepts. And there was a sweetness there, an anointing on the word of God. And I've longed to see that erupt here. And this year in our day sessions with Brother Godwin and Brother Emery and in those that moved in those day sessions, I mean, we had a wonderful, wonderful experience in the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate Brother Godwin's preaching. I appreciate his teaching. I appreciate his availability. And he has had his hands on, his fingerprints are on the revival processes in a number of our churches that have had phenomenal revival in the last 10, 15 years. He's been a part of that, and he's had his hands on that. And we are so blessed and so privileged to have him here today. I want him to come, and I want him to just tell us whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on his heart. Why don't you extend your hand toward him and pray for his house and his family this morning as he comes. Praise God.
Amen. Come on, let's lift our hands and give God praise in this house. Amen, amen, amen. Well, come on, we were loud with the praise. Now let's be loud with the praise unto the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful blessing to be in a worshiping church. Wish we could say all of our churches worshiped, amen, with scriptural basis, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but it sure is good to come to one that does it right, at least the way I like it. Hallelujah. And amen, so enjoyed the worship, and our worship and praise is more than just perfunctory. It's more than just something that we do to start the service out, but it is biblical. Amen. We set the stage and prepare the atmosphere for the word of the Lord. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give honor to your pastor and his wife. Amen, Brother Sutton. And it is said, and it is true, that great churches grow great because of great leadership. Yeah. And so we recognize the man of God. We do not begrudge the blessings of the Lord upon him, because we understand the more the spiritual head is blessed, it all flows down to us. So the more blessed the man of God is, the more blessed we are. Can somebody shout amen? Thank God. John chapter 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And also the book of Psalms 107 and verse 20. Actually, we'll restart at 17. 107 and 17 down into verse 20. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're here and you need a miracle, this is your day. You're here and you're backslid and need to be reclaimed and restored and renewed, this is your day. If you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, as according to the book of Acts, chapter 2, 8 and 19 and 10, today is your day. The only place in Scripture where anybody, we have biblical example of somebody being born again, we find it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And in all of those places, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they spoke with other tongues when they received the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God. Speaking in tongues was not some trick, but it was, according to Acts 2, the evidence Amen. It was the evidence that they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Amen. A lot of these ladies are expecting children. When they're born, they just don't want the baby to come out. The first thing they're listening for is a sound. They want to hear that baby scream. And if it ain't crying out in just a little bit, they're going to slap a fanny or something. Because they want to hear it cry. So it is in the natural, Jesus said. So is every man that is born again. You hear the sound. And the word sound, amen, we get in the Greek is phoné, where we get the word phonics. Amen. He said, so is every man that is born again. You hear the language thereof. When you are born into the Spirit, there is another language that comes to us. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, today is your day. It's happening all over the world. Every day, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people receiving the Holy Ghost. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Because Jesus is coming back. And so we might as well get somebody full of the Holy Ghost today in Birmingham. Amen? All right, Psalms 107 and verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then, everybody say then. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Did you notice that? In their trouble. That's when they cried unto the Lord. And he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Everybody say he sent his word. John chapter number 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If we jump down to verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the power of the sent word. The power of a sent word. Look at somebody, say, there is a sent word in this house. Amen. Come on, grab your neighbor by the hand. I want you to lift it up in the air, and I want you to pray for them like you want them to pray for you. Come on, let's praise him in the name of the Lord. Oh, Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost power. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Psalms 107 becomes a record to us of the history of Israel. It is a powerful, powerful chapter, revealing not just one instance in the history of Israel, but many. If we look back at verse number 1, it is actually a praise chapter. But the reason there is praise is because of the deliverance that the Lord has given to his people. And it starts out, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Pastor Sutton opened up the service talking about that we do not worship God because of our perfections or our righteousness or our holiness, but we worship and praise God because he was merciful. And he is merciful. Is there anybody that has experienced the mercy of God? Amen. You hadn't been doing right. You hadn't been living right. You hadn't been talking right. But he was merciful. He had you back. He kept you covered. And he brought you out in due season. Come on, somebody. So we praise God not out of a Pharisaical posture, but we praise him because his mercy endureth to all generations. Then it goes on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That means if you're sitting by somebody that ain't said nothing this morning, they probably ain't redeemed. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you ought to open your mouth and say something positive tonight. Amen. We say something because we are redeemed from the hand of our enemy. And then it goes down in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them in their distresses. It happens again in verse 10, a whole nother era of time. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in the affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then, everybody say, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. It just goes on and on. It talks about the mistakes and the failures of people, how that they lifted up their own heads. They became righteous in their own eyes, if you will, and rebelled. How did they rebel? They had contempt for the men of God and leadership that was set over them. And when they did that, God said, you can't touch my man and come out, amen, clean. And so God said, I'm going to bring you down. And when they got all the way down, look at somebody say, how far down are you going to go? Amen. When they got all the way down, they found out, amen, they didn't have a knot at the end of the rope to hang on to. They, in their trouble, say, in your trouble. Amen. They understood, amen, it may be in a bad place, but in my trouble, I'm going to cry unto the Lord. There is a word for the people of God and people that are in this building today, and that is, it doesn't matter how bad your situation is, there is a word for you. In your trouble, you can cry unto the Lord. In your addiction, you can cry unto the Lord. I was preaching just this last week in New Orleans, America on Fire. We're hooked up with Brother Morgan, America on Fire. We've been going in and out of New Orleans since February, preaching in the local churches and having massive revival. And it amazed me the other night on Tuesday night, when they haven't had church on Tuesday night in years. Somebody that knew them said, what in the world are they doing? Well, revival's breaking out. And when revival breaks out, you do all kind of crazy stuff. But into that service walked a young man, and he was dating a young lady that happened to be backslid from the church for over 15 years. When the word of the Lord went forth, he came to the altar. I went down to, excuse me, to pray with him as we had prayed with some others, and I got about 5 feet from him, and I could smell the alcohol and the whiskey that was on him. It was permeating as if it was from the pores of his skin. My flesh said, amen, there's not going to be any help from him today. But the Holy Ghost said, tell him to call on me. There he was at 24 years old, 25 years old, and there in a drunken stupor, if you will, tears began to run down his face, and he began to cry out. I said, all I want you to say is, Lord, I need help. And after about 5 minutes of that, and tears were just flowing down his face, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I've got a word for you today. There is an awesome power in a sent word. I'm talking about a word is powerful. Amen. Alcoholism can't stop it. Cocaine addictions can't stop it. Marital confusion can't stop it. Pornography can't stop it. There is a word from God, and the word is right where you are. If you would cry unto the Lord, he would hear you in your distresses. You cannot get so far down that you cannot cry unto the Lord and him hear you. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. There's no high. There's no drunk. I'll never forget. I was preaching in Kenai, Alaska many years ago. Had a great revival. It was supposed to be there 2 weeks. Holy Ghost broke in on them, and they ended up asking us to stay. We stayed almost 8 full weeks. Was in church every night but 2 nights in 8 weeks. Had sent my family home sick. My wife was so sick on the way to the airport. The preacher's and his wife that took her had to pull over and let her just hang out the door, as she just was sick, just totally wore out. But the Holy Ghost was moving, and I'll never forget there in Kenai. It was amazing. Revivals happening. Two of apostolic churches were coming together and having a revival. And on the way to church, the pastor pulled over and picked a man and a woman up that were on the side of the road and brought him to church, brought him in. There he was drunk, and drunk as Cooter Brown, as my dad would say. I'm talking about sure enough drunk. And he was back there making a mess, and we began to pray and lift up our hands and worship. And as the word went forth, I began to preach, and I got on the power of the oneness of God, that mighty revelation that God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And how that he is the lily of the valley and he is the wheel and the middle of the wheel. And they were saying amen. They weren't just looking at me as I began to preach a simple message that there is only one God that can help you. And when I did, what we didn't know was he was a Russian Jew. He had been a Jew all of his life, raised in Russia. And he had been raised hearing, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And when I began to preach, amen, on the power of the oneness of God, in the middle of that drunken stupor, when he heard that word, he spoke up and he touched his wife and he said, this is where God wanted us to be. Right in the middle of the word, he was sobered up. And in about 10 minutes, he stood to his feet and God filled him with his spirit. I got good news for somebody in here. I don't care how you came in. There is a power of the sin word. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's a sent word. There's a word for you today. Our brother that took up the offering, he testified it. He said, it don't matter where you've been, what you've done, and who you did it with. Amen. You can walk into the house of God, and God can speak to not just you, but he can speak to you, right where you are. Oh, somebody ought to give him praise over the power of his sent word. Then the powerful verse here is, and I move quickly, is that in the middle of all of their trouble, in the middle of all of their distresses, he sent his word and he healed them, even delivering them from, notice, their destructions. Don't you know that sometimes we can get ourselves in a mess? Amen. In 5 minutes, it'll take some folks 5 years to get out of. One old poet said, what a tangled weave, a web we weave. Their destructions, the mess they created. Look at somebody say, I've created some messes. Amen. I'm not going to be too much long, but I'm going to need everybody in here to get real. Amen. I've created some financial messes. I've created some family messes. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody that would get honest in here and said, he done went to talking to me now? Amen. He done climbed over the fence and got in my backyard now. I've created some marital strife. Is there anybody to give me at least a Baptist head nod today? Amen. I've created some family trouble. I've created, amen, some job. I've created the hell. Come on, somebody. Amen. I've created the hell that's going on in my job. But I got a word for you. God said, I can send you a word that'll deliver you even out of the mess you created. Oh, is there anybody in here that would jump to your feet and say, I've created a mess, but God's about to deliver me out of it? Somebody ought to praise him in advance. Somebody ought to dance ahead of time. I'm in a tangled web, but I feel his word about to bring me out. That's it, mother. Go ahead and dance. Amen. You may be in a mess and you may have caused it, but he sent his word and he healed them. You can be seated. So it is the revelation of all revelations. Amen. The power of his word. John the Revelator, the disciple that sat on the Lord's right hand, that was closest to him. He sat there at the head of the table and laid his head over on the breast of the Lord. He heard his heartbeat. It is no accident then that John the Revelator, John the Apostle, has the greatest revelation of who Jesus is. Some say that Jesus is just a friend of the sinner. Some say that he's just a rabbi and a prophet. Now the Islamics say, amen, that Jesus is just one of the prophets like Muhammad. But if you begin to look into the word of God, it comes out clearly that he is no friend of Muhammad. He is no kin cousin, no twin prophet of, amen, Muhammad. Amen. Jesus doesn't come to kill. Amen. In Islam, can I say this today? That in Islam, to become a convert to that religion, amen, it's not a matter of choice. They either tell you, you either become an Islamic or you die.
We must understand that the war we are having now with terrorism and Islam around the world, I know not all people that believe in Islam or in Muhammad or Allah, amen, are, amen, wicked people. But in the beginning of Muhammad's ministry, the first half of his ministry in my study, and we find Muhammad concerned about peaceful conversions, about bringing people on peacefully, amen, giving them what he understood to be a truth, and letting them make a choice to be a convert. But it didn't work because there was no power in it. There was no truth in it. So in the last half of his life, it turns into masquerades, if you will. It turns into an overtaking of cities and towns and governments where either you believe Islam and you believe that Allah is God and that I'm his prophet, or you die. But whenever you read of Jesus, he doesn't come with a sword saying believe or die. Amen. He comes peacefully. He reveals his love to you. He reveals his peace to you. Amen. He lets you see him hang on a cross. He lets you see him. Amen. He's wounded for our transgressions and he's bruised for our iniquity. He lets you understand that the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And then he lets you make a choice. When we see Jesus, know he is not just one prophet among many, but the word of God clearly declares, amen, at 1 Timothy 3:16, for God was manifest in the flesh. The invisible, the multiplicated God. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, the God of plenitude of might. That God, literally in Hebrew, Elohim, is the God of plurality of majesty, not plurality of persons, but plurality of majesty. They even called Pharaoh's Elohim, literally. It didn't mean that there was more than one Pharaoh that served at any time, but it meant it was a word that was used to describe the plurality of glory and majesty. It was a word they tried to, that created to try to describe the grandeur of the Pharaoh. But amen, God is not just a little E, he is a big E God. In the beginning was God, Elohim, a God of plentitude of might. What does that mean? It don't matter what kind of hell you're in. He's got a strong right arm. Come on, I'm not going to get real fancy with you today. I want somebody to understand God don't need help. He can do it all by himself. He don't need to put you in a 12-step recovery program. He is a God of plentitude of might. He can send his word and heal. So John begins with clear revelation to say, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Now some would misinterpret it and say, there it is, there's God in the word. Amen. But you have to finish reading the verse. It's not a verse of Paul John trying to describe to us that there was God and then there's the word and then there's another God in Muhammad and Allah. No, no. Amen. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, who was the word, and the word was God. Amen. The word is God. Why is that? Because it's just like you. When you give me your word, I take your word as you. You can't separate yourself from your word, and you can't separate God from his word. Amen. What God was saying is, I'm a speaking God, and I speak what I think. In the beginning was the logos, the thought, the concept, the plan. But not only was God a God of thought, amen, but God said, I'm going to express what I think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want you to understand God's thinking about you today. God's got a thought about you being delivered. God's got a thought about you being saved. God's got a thought about you being delivered from every spirit of depression and oppression. But not only is he thinking about you, he said, I'm going to speak about you. And God says you're saved. And God says you're delivered. And God says you're whole. Look at somebody and say, God's thinking about you. Not only does God think about us, not only does he talk about us, but now that thought becomes flesh. This is what amazed me. You can stand or be seated, whatever. I'm coming home quick. Whenever we talk about the brother taking up the announcements, he said of somebody up here, he said, I've seen the change in you. Yes, the change is because, amen, God's thoughts become flesh.
That's whenever we see Jesus Christ, we do not see an abstract God, a separate God, a God separate from God. But when we see Jesus Christ, he is God, not a God, but he is God manifested, revealed in flesh. The invisible has become visible. The God that no man has seen at any time. But when Mary shows him in the little manger, he is now a seen God. Hey, that's why when he gets grown and he picks up the 12 fellows that will become his disciples, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." And it sufficeth that the Lord spun on his heels and said, "Philip, have I been so long time with you? And you don't know me? He that hath seen, amen, me, hath seen the Father." What was he saying? Amen. In the beginning, the word was a thought. You can't see a thought. And the thought was with God. But if you hung around long enough, and the thought was God, and God was manifest in flesh, he sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his thought into this world. When you see Jesus Christ, you see the visible manifestation of the thought of God. The I am that I am. You see the root and the offspring of David. You see the beginning and the end. When you see Jesus, you see the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. When you see Jesus Christ, amen, you see the right arm of God. When you see Jesus Christ, amen, you see a bridge over troubled water. Come on, somebody. I feel like preaching a little while in here today. Amen. When you see Jesus Christ, amen, you see Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. When you see Jesus Christ, you see Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. That's why in service last night, there was a gentleman here that had neurological problems and he had pain in his arm. But Brother Sutton called him up and the elders prayed for him. And while he was standing there, the pain started going away and a burning sensation returned. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about when you see Jesus Christ, you see Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. When you see Jesus Christ, you see Jehovah Nisi. He is the Lord, our banner. When you see Jesus Christ, you see Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, our peace. When you see Jesus Christ, amen, you see Jehovah Reha. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you see Jesus Christ, you see Jehovah Titzkenu, who is the Lord that is our righteousness. This is not a church of Pharisees and hypocrites. This is not a church that brags on our own righteousness, but we brag on what Jehovah Titzkenu, Jesus Christ, is making us. We are putting on his righteousness. Come on, look at somebody and say, "I ain't right. He made me right." Amen. It doesn't matter what you, I want to preach somebody out. I feel an old evangelistic spirit on me right now. I don't care, sir, what you've done, who you did it with, how long you did it, and where you was when you did it. Amen. You don't have to come in here and duck your head. You don't have to be ashamed. You can say, "Well, I've been saved. I haven't been saved for these 65 years. Why do it now?" Because God's kept you alive until this moment. It don't matter what you've done for the last 65 years. It's been God that kept you alive until this day. Can I preach a little word? And so whenever I say, "Can I preach a little word?" Amen. So whenever we see the word, he is not only Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Reha, Jehovah Titzkenu, but he is also Jehovah Shammah, which is the Lord that is present. Doesn't matter what kind of problem you're in, he is Jehovah Shammah. He is the ever-present God. So John begins to describe it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see God, amen, first of all, as a God of thought, a God of concept, a God that has a plan for your life. But then not only is he a God that's thinking, but he is a God that will express his thought. That's what the power of preaching is. Amen. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that
believe. See, the struggle now is, as I close, is for me not to just preach, but the struggle now is, will you believe the preaching of the word? Now, if I was preaching Reader's Digest, you wouldn't have to believe that. If I was preaching Time or Newsweek or USA Today, you wouldn't have to believe that. But if I'm preaching out of the word, the challenge is, can you believe the word? Can you believe that God is your all in all? Can you believe that he's a way maker? Come on, somebody. Can you believe, amen, that he can bring you out? Can you believe he can make you the head and not the tail? Can you believe he can bless you going in and coming out? Touch three people around you and say, can you believe? You can be seated 30 seconds as the musicians come and prepare. Look at somebody and say, can you believe? Come on, can you believe? See, it's a struggle of every message. Just get ready, don't play. The struggle of every message, I don't know if you feel it much, Pastor, but I feel it, is what can I say that would bring people out of the hog pen of sin? What word is there today, God, that is specific enough, plain enough, that I could preach one sermon and God take that sermon and make it a word, specific sent word, for what? 250 people in here. Is there a word that could bring him out of a wheelchair and save your marriage at the same time? Is there a word that can heal you of kidney disease and heal somebody else's headache at the same time? Is there a word that can stop a saint from backsliding and save a backslider at the same time? Is there a word, amen, that can stop you from getting high today and let you get high on Jesus? Is there a word that could be sent and it could save me and save you all at the same time? Oh, look at somebody and say, there is a word. Is there a word that can affect your family in Birmingham and can affect my family in Dallas, Texas? Is there a word, amen, that can affect the Spanish man and the Oriental man and the Ethiopian man and the black man and the white man all at the same time? Is there a word? Is there a word? Is there a word that can reach a poor man and reach a rich man all at the same time? Is there a word that can work and heal a musician and can touch somebody that's never played an instrument? Is there a word? Is there a word that can touch a prodigal son who's still in the church and reach a prodigal son that's in the hog pen? Is there a word? Could somebody say, is there a word? Come on, I want you to help me now. Look at somebody and say, is there a word? Is there a word that can help you and help me at the same time? Is there a word that can touch a new convert and touch a seasoned saint at the same time? Oh, I need somebody to say amen to me. Is there a single word that can touch a poor man and a rich woman all at the same time? Had a man look at me one time and said, why do I need the Holy Ghost? I've never drank, I've never smoked, I've never cheated on my wife. He said, when I had my first sexual experience, it was with my wife. He said, I've never done anything wrong. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't take drugs. I pay my bills. I pay my taxes. Why do I need God? And I thought, is there a word that can touch this man that's been a good man in his own righteousness, but yet can reach the same man who's had sex 1,000 times before he got married, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, got high on drugs and alcohol. Come on, somebody. Don't pay his taxes. Don't pay his bills. Is worse than an infidel. Is there a word? And I've come to a conclusion. There is a word for everybody. There's a word that'll deliver you out of pride. And there's a word that'll deliver me out of arrogance. And there's a word that'll deliver you out of oppression. And there's a word that'll deliver you out of depression. And I've come to tell you that word is Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, man, I've come to tell you, Jesus is your answer. He's the answer for a drunk man, and he's the answer for a sober man. He's the answer for the white man and the black man. He's an answer for the Asian and the Oriental. He's the answer for anything. Come on, somebody. Come on, touch somebody and say, Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. I feel. Can I preach like I feel? Oh, is there anybody happy you know who Jesus is? Oh, when you look at Jesus, you don't look at Jehovah Jr. When you look at Jesus, you look at God that created the heavens and the earth. I wish I had a preaching church today. When you look at Jesus, hey man, you look at God in the face. When you look at Jesus, hey man, you look at a healer. You look at a deliverer. You look at a sanctifier. You look at your righteousness. Did you hear me? I don't care what you've done and where you've been doing it. When you look at Jesus, he's your righteousness. There ought to be somebody that cried Jesus. Hey man, the rich man ought to cry Jesus. The poor man ought to cry, Jesus. Jesus. He sent his word. Sent his word. The centurion said, you ain't got to come to my house. I'm under authority and I just speak to whatever's under me and it has to obey. You're under your father's authority. He said, so you ain't got to leave this dusty road and come to my town, under my roof, in my house. He said, all you got to do to get my servant healed is speak. Send a word. Just let it go down through valleys and over mountains and across ponds and rivers. Come on. All you got to do is open your mouth. I wish somebody would get the revelation. Hey, man, there is a sent word. Hey, man, can I tell somebody else the power of life and death is in your tongue? Hey, man, if you're tired of being down, you ought to jump to your feet and say, I'll not be down another day. If you're tired of being lost, you ought to jump to your feet and say, I'm not going to leave lost today. If you're tired of not knowing, you ought to jump to your feet and say, I'm not going to leave without knowing. Today, and so news comes to the word, Lazarus is sick, and Jesus tarries 4 days. Is there anybody ever needed a miracle and felt like the Lord just kept holding out on you? The word never came. Finally, he feels in his spirit Lazarus die. He looks at the 12 disciples and says, come on, let's go. Lazarus is sleeping. They said, well, if he sleeps, he does well. He said, I'm not talking about taking rest. He said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Amen. See, sometimes hell gets in our life because God's going to reveal glory to somebody else. Well, you didn't hear me. I mean, so, hey man, is there anybody who'll raise your hand up as I close and would say, you know what? I got some hell going on in my life. Come on, raise your hand up. Amen. Is it possible the hell you're going through right now is because of a delay? Could it be that God could have kept you from your trouble, but he said, I'm going to delay deliverance. Why? Because somebody in your house needs to see the glory of God. What are you saying? I'm telling somebody, you may be in a divine delay, but it's not a divine denial. Amen. The word hasn't come yet, but the word is on the way. Everybody stand to your feet. Jesus finally gets to that graveside. He speaks a word to Lazarus. And the word is simply, Lazarus! The crowd stands anticipating, looking into the dark hole. Come forth! There was no drum roll. There was eerie silence. As everybody was shh, maybe they could begin to hear a rustling down in that cave. When all of a sudden, out of darkness, came a man that was dead. He can't walk. Somebody, I hurt my knee playing basketball a couple of weeks ago. I'm fighting the knowledge that I'm getting old and I'm fat and out of shape. And that little whippersnappers thought they'd get the best of me. Pookie had to show them better. Hallelujah. But I'm still suffering. Brother picked me up this morning, wanted to know if I had a new stroll. If I'd have thought about it, I could have got my stroll on. You wouldn't know I had my limp on. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't know the white man could stroll, did you? Hey. Get my step on, boy. See, I look good, don't I? If I walk like a white man, I got a limp. Hallelujah. I feel my brother coming out in me. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm just a black man trapped in a white body. Hallelujah. Yeah. White boy can jump.
That's what I had to show them. They lowered a goal to about 9 foot and 1 inch, and they were dunking on. They got to talking trash, and I had flashbacks when I could jump 32 inches off the floor back long ago. See, I didn't get no amen from the brothers. They can't believe the white boy could get up like that. Trust me. Stand underneath the goal, one step back. Whack, boom. Oh, the memories are powerful. It's a great joy to block a 6'7" man's shot. Just let him go ahead and get up there and then come up there and wait on him. Paya! I'm having flashbacks. Hallelujah. He told that junk and I said, give me the ball, baby. One left-handed dunk. Boom-ya! You don't think I can do it. I get this knee healed. I'm going to show you. Hallelujah. They threw another dunk down. So I threw one backwards. It still wasn't enough. Give it to me again. I'm going to pull out my trump card now. I got the ace of spades. I'm finna pop down on you. 360. Wow. And the white man was angry. I'm going to pull the goal over. You just did a badaya. Now, then I had my strut on. That's what I'm talking about. Next morning, got up, cantaloupe, water on the knee, and said, oh, Lord, I can't do a 360 now. I finally got some people to respond with my funny story. Ain't that something? Lazarus comes shimmying out that grave. What was it that happened? Because when the Lord gives the secret away, I'm headed for the grave. Martha jumps up and says, no, you can't do that. He stinketh. He decays. He is rotting. The process of rotting flesh has begun. It's too late for the word now. Science says 4 days after the heart quits beating, that now the body has spoiled like spoiled meat. Within 10 minutes of the spoiling process begin, dead flies arrive and lay thousands of eggs in the nose and the eyes. The eggs hatch and maggots are born and they begin to feed on the tissue. Within hours, beetles arrive and begin to eat the maggots. Within 24 hours, spiders come and begin to eat the beetles. Mites and millipedes begin to show up and devour rotting flesh. He stinketh. Who am I preaching to today that looks at your situation and you say it's too far gone? The imps of hell and situations and circumstances have begun to devour at your being. What kind of world are we living in when 21 and 22 year olds are depressed and see nothing worth living for? Traveling around, I occasionally have to get my hair cut in different places most of the time. And I sat down in a barber's chair just not a few many weeks after the 911 disaster. And the girl that was next to me said to the girl cutting her my hair, she said, I've got to hurry. I've got to leave for lunch early. And girl said, why you got to leave early? She said, I got to go take my pills. And before I could think, I just said, excuse me a second. I whirled the wheelchair around and the chair around. And I said, what are you taking pills for? And she was 20 years old. She said, I'm so depressed. I'm so fearful. I said, what are you depressed about? You are how old? So I'm 20 years old. 20. You haven't lived long enough to be depressed. She said, well, these terrorists and these plane crashes and these bombs and everything going off has just got me so discouraged. I said, ma'am, I feel a word for you this day. I looked at her and I said, the word of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. Tears begin to run down her face. I was in the airport yesterday, prepared to take a later flight. There were 3 soldiers that had just left training, were fixing to head overseas to go into the battle in Iraq, and they were trembling and crying. I saw the one soldier in her uniform standing there crying, or sitting there crying. And from a distance, probably from me to that front row, I could see the girl. Her knees were shaking and she was trembling. And all of a sudden, the lady at the counter, she came over the intercom and she asked, we need 3 volunteers that will give up their seats. We can't give you any points. We can't give you any free tickets. We've just got 3 soldiers that's only got 3 days before they're shipped over to Iraq. They've only got 3 days to be with their family. They're trying to get home as early as they can. And I stepped up. They had one person there. I stepped up and gave them my name. Another, and I went over to them and big shake their hand and told them, you can get on the plane, go home. Called Brother Sutton and said, I'll be an hour and a half late, but I'll get there. And I walked away. The Lord said, you can't walk away that easy. And I turned back around. I went over there to them, got their names. And I looked at them and said, I want to tell you something. I said, God let you show up today in this airport because he wanted to give you a word. Tears running down their face. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, you're going to remember what's fixing to happen right now. When you get over in Iraq, if you have to get in the battle, if you're around somewhere where a car bomb goes off, you're going to remember what I'm fixing to tell you. I said, no matter what kind of trouble you get in, no matter how hot the battle gets, if you'll remember the name of Jesus. I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. People began to gather around. I said, I tell you what we're fixing to do. I put my arms around and said, come gather in. We're going to have a game prayer right here. I said, I'm fixing to pray angels over you. I'm fixing to pray the blood of Jesus over you. I said, come on, let's pray. And as I began to pray, people around there in that airport, just a few of us, we began to pray. I said, God, you see these two young ladies and this young man. I put your word on them right now. I put your spirit on them, your blood on them. I put your angels around them. Let them understand that they are covered now and that at the mere mention of your name, they shall be protected. No matter how bad your situation is, sir, doesn't matter how long you've been backslid, how much drugs you've taken, how much drinking you've done, it doesn't matter. Maybe you've drunk enough now, you're beginning to believe you're hooked. But in this situation, in Martha's mind, Pastor, it was too far gone. The bugs and the spiders have already begun to gnaw at the flesh. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. It didn't matter how many spiders had ate millipedes and how many millipedes had ate maggots. It didn't matter how much flesh the maggots had ate. It doesn't matter how much flesh had begun to rot. When the word came forth, the millipede had to spit out the spider, and the spider had to spit out the maggots, and the maggot had to spit out the flesh, and the flesh came back together, and Lazarus comes walking out of the tomb, and Jesus said, there's one more word, loose him and let him go. And when they unwrapped him, he wasn't missing body parts, he wasn't missing pieces of flesh, he went in whole, and he came out whole because of a word. Grab somebody's hand right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I don't care what you've been through and what you've done. I don't care what the devil's tried to convince you. You've lost brain cells and you'll never be whole. The devil is a liar. The word that is sent for you today is come forth. Come on out. You may be 65 years old, but come out. You may have been drinking alcohol all your life. Come on out. Your husband may have turned his back on you and walked out of your family, but the word of the Lord is come forth. Amen. You may be frustrated and depressed, but the word from the Lord is come forth. Come on, Lazarus, where are you in here? Come on, young couple, you're too young to be giving up now. And no matter what kind of financial mess you're in, come on now. God's going to bless you. Come on, if you're ready to get deliverance, I want you to make your way to this altar right now. If you need a touch from the Lord, I want you to come right now. Come on, come on, that's it, mother, that's it, mother. Come on, anybody else, come on, right now, right now, right. Come on, husband and wife. Amen. It don't matter what anybody around you says, the word got you. The word named your situation. The word named your habit. The word named your problem. Come on, preachers, I need help right now. Come on, come on, that's it. Come on, husband and wife. Come on, mother. Come on, come on, come on. Hands are up all over this building right now. The word will reach a saved man and a saved woman and a sick man and a sick woman and a lost man and a lost woman all at the same time. Would you put your hands up right now and would you begin to give God praise as they begin to worship? If you've got a miracle, if you've got an anointing on your life, come on. If you're a leader in this church, I'm asking you to come now. Lay hands on these that are up here. Receive the Holy Ghost. Let God fill you with His Spirit. Let the Word raise you.
Let the word raise you. Lift your hands up. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in your thinking. Be loosed in your living. Come on, be loosed right now. Come on, men, if everything's all right with you, I want you to find somebody to pray with. Come on, I want you to loose somebody right now. I want you to lay hands on them, loose them right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I need some men that's got the Holy Ghost.
Have you tried, Jesus?
Oh, come on, sir. In the name of Jesus.
Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried my Jesus? Have you tried Jesus?
Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name of Jesus.
Have you tried my Jesus?
Heal in Jesus' name.
Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried Jesus?
Come on, hands are up, hands are up, hands are up. Everybody's worshiping. Everybody's worshiping in the name of Jesus.
He's all right. 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 All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried my Jesus? Have you tried Jesus?
Come on, that's Holy Ghost.
Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried Jesus?
Come on, that's Holy Ghost.
Have
Holy
you
Ghost.
Tried my
Holy
Jesus?
Ghost. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
He's
going to be all right.
He's all right.
The word, it's going to be all right.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's all right. He's all right.
He's all right.
Have you tried my Jesus?
Come on, somebody ought to praise him.
Have you tried Jesus?
Jesus is a word.
Have you tried
Jesus?
Jesus
is your word.
He's all right. I tried Jesus and he's all right.
Have you tried my Jesus?
He's all right.
Have you tried Jesus?
He's all right.
Have you tried my Jesus?
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right.
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 Come on, if you men can help us pray, find some people to pray with. Come on.
All right, all right.
We need some worshipers up in here.
All right,
all right. Let Oshiah come forth.
He's all right.
Come forth. Loose him.
He's all right.
Loose him in the name of Jesus. Loose him in the name of Jesus.
Have you checked?